First Peter, first chapter. First Peter, first chapter. No, we've been here of late. I'm glad to report you'll never exhaust one verse of the Word of God. First Peter, first chapter. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you and peace be multiplied. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye're in heaviness, through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen you love, in whom though now you see him not, yet believing you rejoice, with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, searching what, or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which was in them did signify, when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow, unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached you the gospel, that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance, but as he hath called you, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. And if ye call on the Father, who without respect of person judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, from your vain conversations received by traditions from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in the last times for you, who by him do believe in God, that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God, seeing you purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren. See that you love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible seed, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man is as flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word by which the gospel is preached unto you. You may be seated. Tremendous amount of scripture reading this morning, far more than we'll ever get covered, far more than we could exhaust today, far more. I thank God for it, every thought and remembrance of it. It's a blessing and a treat to my heart. I I was so blessed last night and this morning digging through the Word of God, and I tell you, it's richer the farther I go. I'd have to report to you, it gets richer and richer and richer. When we say this is a treasure of heavenly instruction, which is one of the articles of faith concerning the Scriptures, I assure you, friend, that it is a treasure of heavenly instruction. And I would beg you and earnestly plead with you that if you're being a child of God and born again, that you would find yourself so hungry for the Word of God that this is what you would prefer above everything else of this world. But reach into it by faith that God had opened it up and write it upon the very front lids of your mind and the tables of your heart. As we look at this morning, as Peter starts this, and as I know we've said we've been here of late, but he's covering a lot of people, and he covers a lot of countries. But then in the very first verse, the first word of the second verse, I tell you, he covers a multitude of people. He says, elect, according to the foreknowledge of God, through sanctification of the Spirit, capital S. My friend, he is addressing the bride of Christ. Now, without a doubt that there were people of God in all these places he mentioned. But friend, he then says, elect. And I understand in the world we live in today, people back away from election. They don't want to try to plunge off into it too deep. But I promise you, friend, when you by the help of God are able to look into this elect according to the foreknowledge of God, it doesn't bring a sense of arrogancy to anybody's mind that truly is elected. But I'll tell you what it brings, my friend, is a place of humbleness that God would choose me. That it would bring to my heart the memory and the understanding that it was not me that chose God, but that it was God that chose me. And I fear many people's lives and the power of God fails because they never come to the understanding that God would choose them. Well, preacher, I'm not anything that God would really want to choose. And it's hard for me to really truly believe that God did choose me. Friend, understand something. I believe this with all that be in me is, that my friend, that the Bible says that it's not the will of God that any perish, but that all come to repentance and live. But I also know that the will of God's not always done, because hell hath enlarged her borders. And there's people that I have seen in the days of my short journey that I know the Word of God has reached to, and the Word of God and the Spirit of God has dealt with, and they still refuse to come to Christ. Oh, they want religion. Oh, they want everybody at the house of God to think of them as ready to stand in the presence of the Lord. But when, my friend, the power of God comes by, their countenance falls. They'll look around to see what this one thinks or what that one thinks, or see whether or not that this one goes along with it. Dear friends, you ought to have enough God in your heart if you know that God chose you. And my friend, you'll have enough in your heart to say amen to the truth, no matter where it comes from. Well, preacher, I just need to grow. I'll tell you what. We need to be sure that we are ready. Listen on. Elect according to the foreknowledge of God through sanctification of the Spirit. Through sanctification of the Spirit. Tremendous words in the Word of God. I won't be able to go word by word to every verse. I've got a few I've got to touch on and run. But I understand what this says right here. There are many people in this world who attend church on a regular basis who do not have a comprehension or understanding of the sanctification of the Spirit of God. They know the words. They have seen and heard them spoken and taught about. But as far as they themselves down inside them, they don't understand what that means to this world. Do you remember back in the Old Testament when that Moses erected the tabernacle?
And they brought in the blood of the sacrifices. And he took hyssop. And my friend, he went through and he dipped that hyssop, that branch, my friend, into that blood. And he began to sprinkle things with that blood of that sacrifice. What was he doing? He was sanctifying them things that they might be used in the service of God. He sprinkled the altar. He sprinkled Aaron and his sons. My friend, he sprinkled most everything that was there with the blood from those sacrifices. He took the hyssop, he dipped it in it, and he had sprinkled it. And then he sprinkled the people. What was he doing? He was taking that sacrifice, the very life existence of its blood, and he was putting it on those things of God's. Now listen to me. Listen to the book. Elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through sanctification of the Spirit. Now the Spirit is God. The Spirit of God is not the Spirit of God because I say it is. The Spirit of God is not the Spirit of God because David says it is. Because Rick or anybody in the house. The Spirit of God is a person in himself. Friend, the Spirit of God is a piece of the Trinity as much as Jesus, as much as God, the Spirit of God is too. Do you not agree that this is Jesus from cover to cover? That the Word was made flesh and dwelt among men. That, my friend, that it was the very voice of the Lord that Adam and Eve heard in the wilderness. My friend, that the very Spirit of God is what sanctifies that is His. Do you hear me? Do you understand this? What brings the Spirit of God to us? Well, I went to the altar. So? Well, I've been to church all my life. So? I've read the Bible from cover to cover. So? I'm not trying to be ugly. But friend, you understand this, my friend, unless your life has been sanctified by the Spirit of God, you are none of His. You might know the song. I've seen people during services stand up and say, well, I've got a song. No spirit, no power, no witness. Sung out of the red hymnal, played on by the piano. No spirit, no power, no witness. What does this mean, preacher? It means that they are not ready. Well, what do you mean ready? Listen. The Bible says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy has begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Now, if God has begotten me again unto a lively hope by Jesus Christ from the dead, then should there not be some evidence of Jesus Christ living and abiding in my vessel? Then why is it? Why is it we have no praise? What did Jesus say? Father, I thank Thee that Thou always hears me. And we want people to believe that we got a prayer life, that we got a reading life, but there's no evidence of Jesus Christ in our lives. Well, I'm on the church pew, preacher. Ain't got enough evidence for you. Who you trying to please? Me? Bless your poor heart. I'm nothing. This man, this woman, I go all of that. We're nothing. Right. nothing. But I'll tell you what, God hath begotten me again unto a lively hope. A lively hope. My hope ain't dead. This world may look like it's going to hell in a handbasket. My friend, they might be bringing everything in this world against the church, against God's people, and many people don't see it. I tell you, my friend, my hope ain't diminished a bit. My Redeemer liveth. Hey, you know, preacher, because I'll tell you what, he's filled me up and poured me out. It is he that has sanctified me, and not me to sanctify myself unto him. I need to hurry. It gets deeper by far. A lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Now listen to what's about to be read here. And understand, my friend, if there's something where that we could glorify God in the days that we occupy this world, surely to goodness, if we've been resurrected, we'd have something to say about these next few words. To an inheritance, incorruptible. Last 4 years I was at home, I lived with my grandma. And truth be told, I could have went to grandma and said, "Grandma, I want a place up there to build me a house." She'd say, "Well, won't me and you just walk up there and we'll pin it off and it'll be yours, sir." And I could have went and done that. And next thing you know, I'd have been surrounded by kinfolk. And I don't know, it may have been a glorious thing, but I can promise you this, it could have been defiled. It could have caused trouble. But I want you to understand something, friend. I've got an inheritance that this world ain't got a thing to do with.
That's right.
I've got an eternal living promise that God chose me. That I didn't choose him. That is absolutely incorruptible. It cannot be defiled. Listen on to the Bible. Lord, it's coming quicker than I can get to it. God, help me and pray that we don't miss anything. To an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled. Now, my life was defiled because of sin. I marred my vessel because of the sin that I was in. God was gracious and let me live. And he knew about the sin that was a living in me, and he allowed me to live until I come to the knowledge I was lost and undone without God. And God, in his mercy, sought me out and bought me. Oh, I need to hurry. I've got scripture in Romans I need to get to, but listen on. I'll come back to that if God will help us. He said, that fadeth not away. You would think some people's heavenly vision is gone someplace. There's no joy in their lives. They're not grateful. They're not thankful. They're not moved to praise. They're not moved to weeping. They're not moved to mourning. They're not moved. It is if, my friend, their glory has faded away. That praising and worshiping God just don't have the shine it used to. I mentioned this a few weeks ago. If this is the case, don't be offended. But did your gourd die? That place where you found some comfort for your natural life in this world, did God send a little bitty worm and kill your gourd? I'm not trying to be ugly. I'm not trying to. But there's many people whose joy is spoiled because of the things of this world. Friend, friend, friend. Heaven is so that God has resurrected you from the dead by His Son Jesus. You've got a lot to praise Him for. Why? He ain't dead. And there's a lot of comfort in Christ Jesus. Oh, help us. He says, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away. I like this. Reserved in heaven for you. Friend, I've got an eternal resting place reserved in heaven for us. Not me only, as Paul wrote, but for all them also which believe. The report that hear the gospel, that heed the word of God, wherein they're able to respond by faith that God has sent his word to their soul. But so many times, unless the service goes exactly the way that we have grown accustomed to, then God ain't no worry about it. We'll judge our brother's sacrifices. We'll judge our people. My friends, we're not ready. We're not ready to receive. We're not ready to offer. You know what we end up being? We end up being that thermostat on the wall right back there. We're going to judge the temperature. We're going to identify just if it's hot or cold. We'll wonder who set our thermostat. Dear friend, if we're not led by the Spirit of God, we're none of His. And they who are not against us are for us. May we be able to beg God. May we be able, my friend, to come to the place to see what we really need in the days that we live. I can confess this to you. God grant me discernment that I might really know the leadership of your Spirit to my life. Listen on, I need to hurry. He says, reserved in heaven for you who are kept. Are you kept? Are you kept? Well, yes, preacher, I'm kept. Really? Well, if we're kept by God, might I add this? Then you're holy. Because he said, be ye holy, for I am holy. We've read this. If you're kept by God, you're going to be holy. Because God's not going to keep something that's not holy. Amen? So if we're kept, we're going to be kept holy. Listen on. Who are kept by the power of God through faith. For a season? No. Listen on. Through faith unto salvation. Ready. Ready to be revealed in the last time. Do you know what that ready means? That ready, if you will, is, you can say it like this, prepared. Now, friend, in the days of your life, do you think that God has been preparing you, my friend, to receive this inheritance, incorruptible and undefiled forever? Do you see God preparing you for this, making you ready? I promise you this. I may have got up this morning. I may have washed. I may have shaved. I may have made my outward man ready to walk through these doors. But I promise you, I could never make my soul ready to stand before God. You cannot, my friend, make yourself ready to stand before God. You can't do it. Well, preacher, I've got to clean my hands and purify my heart. My friend, I can read in the Bible where the Bible teaches me to sanctify my heart unto God. My friend, I can read in the Bible and understand where he encourages me to seek that I can find, knock, and it can be open and ask, and I can read. I understand that, but as far as even being able to get to him without him, I can do nothing. It is God that makes you ready. Look with me, if you will, if you want to, in the book of Romans, in the 9th chapter. So then it is of him that willeth. So it is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. Let me ask you, honest, before you and God, nobody else in this house except for me, you, and the God of heaven, can you see, can you know, can you see without any dispute in your life where that God has been merciful to you? I don't mean just your flesh. I don't mean not having any accidents. I don't mean with money in your pocket. No. Has God the God of heaven has got. Can you see? Do you know where he's been merciful to your flesh, your soul, and your spirit? Your life, your being, your existence. Where that God, not you, God's been merciful. Yes. Oh, preacher, I'm alive. Did he tell you the truth? Some will understand what I'm about to say. Some will not. Did he call you? Did he call you? You remember? No way you could ever forget. Yes. In trouble. Oh, Lord, I'm lost.
Yes.
I'm lost. And I want to be saved. I want this weight off of my life. Yes. Then came a call. Reaching right down in my heart, pulling at my life. I didn't know what to do. I didn't know what to say. I just fell on my face. I'm sure these words come out of my mouth. I'm sorry. I'm sure these words come out of my mouth. God, would you save me? But what I was doing was not anything at all, except in my inward man, I was yielding to a drawing power of God. My heart, my inward man, had to respond to that pulling unction of God. It didn't have anything to do with my flesh. Not any words I said, not any thoughts I thought. My friend, my flesh had already lied to me and slew me. But God was merciful. Yes. And he was drawing me from the inside, pulling me at him. Yeah. What was he doing? He called me out of darkness and into his marvelous light. Listen on to the Bible. He says, here in the book of Romans, in the 9th chapter, where I read to you was just in the 16th verse. So then it is not of him that willeth. So it is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but God. Read that. But of God that showeth mercy. Is God merciful? Yes. But as he showed you mercy, God showeth mercy. There's a world that would tell you that God's merciful. But have they been exposed to the mercies of God because God showed them his mercy? I can tell you, bless his holy name for his mercy. Listen on. He says, For the scripture saith unto Pharaoh, even for this same purpose have I raised thee up, that I might show my power in thee, and that my name might be declared throughout all the earth. Oh, my goodness. Here's a man that was a king, but yet before he was a king, he is a little boy. He wasn't born full grown like a wasp. He was a little bitty baby in his mother's arms, and God allowed him to live and grow up. And God raised him in this world that he might make his power known. And I'll tell you, my friend, that though that may have been nearly 6,500 years ago, still people know about it. And how much glory has God got from that man's life? I bless the name of God for his wondrous works. Well, preacher, he died and went to hell. How could you be thankful? God's glorified. Richard, God wouldn't allow anybody to be born into this world to go and die and go to hell. It's not what the book says. I just read to you, elect, listen on to the Bible. He says, for the scripture saith unto Pharaoh, even for this same purpose have I raised thee up, that I might show my power in thee, and that my name might be declared throughout all the earth. Therefore he hath mercy on whom he will have mercy, and whom he will he hardeneth. Well, preacher, there's nobody here today that's hardened. Really? Are you sure? I promise you, I pray that God, peradventure, would pass by some lives again and call you out of darkness and into His marvelous light. But I wonder why some of the former preachers and men that's preached the gospel here have asked me questions about some lines that are sitting here. Have you seen anything out of this one? That deserves a great big Selah. Because men that have preached to us the gospel by the Spirit of God has asked me, have you seen anything of real value out of this one? Out of that one? I don't know about you. But my friend, if there was no praise, if there was no honor, if there was no glory, if there was no fruit, a report of such a degree would shake me to the bone. Because it's not about kinships, it's not about friendships, but it is about being born again. It's about being drawn by the power of God to a brand new life. Well, preacher, what are you talking about? I want you to have joy unspeakable and that full of glory. And going to church, just being a pew warmer, ain't going to get you that joy. But listen on to the Bible. This is the book. He says, "Thou wilt say then unto me, why doth he yet find fault? For who hath resisted his will?" I love the wisdom of God. "Nay, but O man, who art thou that repliest against God? Shall the thing formed say to him that formed it, why hast thou made me thus? Hath not the potter power over the clay of the same lump to make one vessel unto honor and another unto dishonor?" Do you believe this for just a moment, my friend, that the only vessels in this world that are bringing God dishonor are them that's out there in the world living to themselves, marking up their bodies, piercing it through and through, serving and bowing other gods? Do you think it's only them that's bringing God dishonor? By no means. They don't even pretend to know God. But I tell you, them that bring God dishonor is them that come into His congregation and try to honor, but offer polluted sacrifices, have no peace, have no joy, have no contentment, have no Spirit of God about their lives. I tell you, this dishonors God. Them that are out in the world are of the world. They don't profess to know God. Though they're made in the image of God, they live to themselves. My friend, they judge themselves among themselves. And my friend, there they'll meet their doom and their damn. But I tell you, what hurts the heart of God is them that shut under the Word of God. And my friend, who was it that God has sent His Son to? Them that were supposed to know Him. Them that were supposed to be looking for Him. Them, my friend, that He had made exceeding great and precious promises to. And they rejected Him. They are those today that sit in the house of God and the gospel comes by and they reject Jesus. No, preacher, surely not. Oh, but indeed. Listen on to the Bible. He says, "What if God willing to show His wrath and to make His power known, He endured with much long suffering the vessels of wrath, fitted, to destruction." When something's fitted, it's measured. Do you remember the words, "Mene, mene, tekel, ephrathah"? This king, my friend, had seen God move in his family. This king, my friend, had heard the words of God declared. But my friend, this man still took the very vessels of God and polluted them with his own doings. And a hand began to write on the wall, "Mene, mene, tekel, ephrathah." What does that say? Thou art weighed in the balance. Another place it says, "Thy kingdom is measured and it is finished." Friend, understand this. God, I fear, I tremble that some people are being fitted for destruction. What are you talking about? Well, let's go back to Pharaoh. Let's look at Pharaoh for just a second. Was Pharaoh getting his life fitted for destruction? How was it? Because, my friend, through a process, to the best of my understanding, 40 years long. 40 years. Moses was going down there and saying, "Let my people go." And then would come a plague. And Pharaoh would see Moses rebuke the plague according to the word of God, and the plague leave. He had seen the power of the word of God work. 40 years. 40 years. I told you it'd be tough this morning. Don't worry. I ain't afraid. This world didn't build my fire. I know who sent me. You want to run me off when we get done, that's between you and God. But I come to give you the simple word of God. I tell you, they are people that throughout the days of their life, my friend, they are hardening themselves against the word of God. Yes. Yeah. Because God has come by them and God has made plain in their heart, made plain in their minds what they need to do. But because of who they are, they're king over their domain. They're king over their little piece of ground. They don't have to obey the word of God. Don't worry. There have been times in your heart, my friend, that God has hardened you. You've hardened yourself against. There have been times, my friend, that God, you've seen his word answered in his word right in your very presence. But yet, my friend, as far as your life yielding and obedience, you were able to recognize, yes, here comes that Moses again. What's he got now? There's some, I fear, some of you dread me anymore. Just over 3.5 years ago, you loved me. You loved me a sight. And I worry. I worry because you get a little of ease and Zion. You don't love me too much anymore. You don't like it when I get to preaching about people being in the house of God for 40 and 50 years and not knowing God. All I can tell you is get down on your knees and pray for me. Pray for me. Get me to the place where that God would send to that exactly what your heart wants or needs. But I can promise you this, friend or foe, I only want to give you the word of God. I don't want to mix it with my feelings or my summations or my ideologies. I just want the word of God. Why? Because that's what'll change our lives. Yes. Pharaoh had seen the word of God work. And he was fitting himself for destruction. Even after the children of Israel left, "I'll go get them and kill them all." And he died. The children of Israel, leaving out of Egypt, getting right to the promised land. Because what they seen with their eyes and heard with their ears, they did not go in. Because of the report of flesh and blood, they did not possess the promised land. The word of God come to them and told them, and then they wanted to get ready. But it was too late. It was too late to get ready then. You had the opportunity. It was presented to you plainly. You had seen God work for 40 years. You've come through the Red Sea. It's now time to go in. And friend, because of unbelief, you were not ready. Then what did they do when the word of God came? "Let's get our swords. We're going in. We'll go, we'll fight, we'll make ready." When they got themselves ready, read it, it's in the book. They went up the hill. And they got chased as if being chased with hornets. They slew them left and right. Why? Because they were not ready. Listen on to the word of God. He says, what if God, willing to show his wrath and make his power known, endured with much longsuffering the vessels of wrath fitted for destruction, fitted to destruction, and that he might make known. Now here's where we can rejoice. God help us too. And that he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy. Has he showed you his mercy? Have you seen it? Is your life a vessel of mercy? Do you know that he's the potter, you're the clay? And my friend, your life was marred in his hand because he allowed you to live throughout the days of your innocence. It brought you to the knowledge, my friend, of the sin that you had committed against God. Did not leave you there, but sent his spirit to draw you and reconcile you unto him. Do you know you've seen his mercies? Thank God for his mercies. Listen on. And that he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy, which he had afore prepared unto his glory. Unto glory. Friend, let's think just a minute on the preparations of God. Let's go back to Abraham when he offered Isaac. Isaac said, Father, we have the fire, we have the wood, we have the knife. Where's the sacrifice? What did Abraham say? God shall provide for himself a sacrifice. Abraham did everything God had told him to do. Have you done everything that God has told you to do? Abraham bound his son, his only son, and he drew back the knife and would have slain him. God sent an angel. Don't touch him, Abraham. God had prepared him a ram with his horns hung in the thicket. Let's think about another place. David was on run for his life. He had already slew Goliath. God had prepared him a weapon. The one that he took from Goliath in the Valley of Elah. God's preparations was already there. Let's get abstinent, if you will, and think about this. There was a man of God one time by the name of Jonah, who God said, you're to go to Nineveh. And you're to preach to them the word of God. He didn't want to go to Nineveh, so he heads out to Joppa. Though he bought his fare to go another way, God prepared a storm. Then God prepared a great fish. Read it. It's all through the book of Jonah. Prepared. God prepared. Friend, let me ask you something seriously as I've ever asked any one of you in my life. Can you not see the preparations of God in your life? Where that God, not Mike Freeman, not Paul Sluter, not David Scruggs, not Crossroads Church, but God prepared you a table in the presence of your enemies? For he is able to sit and die. What are you talking about, preacher? Oh, that we could rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory in the days that we live. Some of us are getting closer to our finish line than we've ever been. Some of us are about to make the crossing. Our days are numbered. My friend, our hours are spent. Our years are gone. Where in the world is our praise unto our Savior? Listen on. And that he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy, which he had afore prepared unto glory, even us whom he hath called, not of the Jews only, but also of the Gentiles. As he saith also in OC, I will call them my people which were not my people, and her beloved which was not beloved. Do you know what he means by the word OC right there? He's talking about Hosea. That's what he means. OC is also another way of saying Hosea. What did he tell Hosea to do? He told Hosea to go down there and take him a wife of the whoredoms. Hosea had to go back and buy her back. Let me tell you something. Every one of us sitting here is a child of whoredoms. No, preacher, not me. My friend, if you can't find yourself there, you've never known the call of God. What are you saying, preacher? Them that are whole, he don't call. Them that are sick are the ones who need the physician. Hosea went and bought her back. There she was, naked on an auction block, and he had to go and buy her back. Children of whoredoms. I've seen a generation look down their long nose at a sinful world. My God in heaven, may we find a place where we could smite ourselves on the breast and say, God, Lord, Master, have mercy on me, a sinner. God, help us. Listen on. He says, call her beloved, which was not beloved. And it shall come to pass that that in the place where it was said unto them, ye are not my people, there shall they be called the children of the living God. I don't know about you, but that puts a shout in my soul. That them that were not called the children of God are now called the children of a living God. My goodness gracious, it takes more than this body can produce. Listen on. He says, and it shall come to pass that in that place where it is said unto them, ye are not my people, there shall they be called the children of the living God. Let me go back over here to Peter and bear with us, I pray. He says, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through the sanctification of the Spirit unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you and peace be multiplied. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Friend, for a child of God that's truly born again, that's surely got to put a little spring in your step, a little wind in your sail, my friend, that the whole world in every generation knows that Jesus rose from the dead. Heaven help me. He says, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith, unto salvation, ready. Are you ready? Are you really ready? Oh, we know about God. We know about church. But are you ready? Friend, I'm telling you, if you're not ready, there's no doing it over. Now let's go back. The children of Israel seen the works of God for 40 years. God, with the death of the sacrifice of the firstborn, my friend, that day when the Passover was instituted. My friend, in that very hour that God brought them out of the land of Egypt, took them through the Red Sea, there was a cloud of fire by night and a cloud by day to watch over them. And they, my friend, got to go to the place of going into the promised land, and they bought. I tell you what, I fear that in the day I live, there's more Judases than I could have ever remembered in my life. Judas is them that walk with God, them that eat with God, them that sit at the table with God, and my friend, them that seen all the workings of God, and them that kissed the door to heaven, died and went to hell. What do you mean, preacher? I tell you what, my friend, it troubles me when I see that there is no praise, that there is no joy, because of what this world said or because of what this world done, because of the way things are in our life, and it robs our joy. What happened? What happened? That my friend, that the trials of this life are not worthy to be compared to the joy. What happened to the overwhelming zeal that live, die, sink, or swim, I'm going to go with Him? Listen on. To an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. That's some joy. Who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready. God made me ready. In combat, in war, back during the Civil War, they would march garrison against garrison. Battle lines would be drawn. Riflemen would line up across the field. And so many times, my friend, that they would march out there. And morality in that day was much higher than it was in this day. And many times it was recorded and noted that British soldiers and our soldiers many times at the front line, when the command would say, "Make ready!" They'd pick up their weapons, my friend, and aim it across the field. And when it come time to pull the trigger, they'd turn their head and squeeze. They couldn't fathom taking another man's life. But know this. When they heard the command from the other side of the field, "Make ready!" My friend, the rifles were then leveled at them and the triggers were pulled. I assure your soul to this. There's an hour coming to your life. You have better be ready. There will be not a second chance. You better be ready to stand before God. You better be ready. There'll be no second chance. I don't care if you've seen it for 80 years. It'll take God to make you ready. You can't get ready yourself. And if you're ready, you ought not be drawing back right now. You'll be rising up and say, "Oh God, send the power. Lord, send the fire. Oh God, purge us everyone." Here. It ain't way down the road. It is right here on us. What are you talking about, preacher? I tell you, they have been millions tried to make ready when breath was fleeting their body. But its only way to be ready is by the help of God. Unless you come to Him when He calls you, unless you respond to the Word of God, you are lost world without end. I need to hurry. God, help my heart. Wherein ye great, who are kept by the power of God, through faith unto salvation, ready. I can't get past it. To be revealed in the last time. Wherein ye greatly rejoice. Woo! I'm saved to the uttermost by Jesus' blood. By the amazing grace of God, He sold me and bought me. He's the one who made me ready.
That's right.
Ain't enough strength in this body. Heaven help me. Wherein you greatly rejoice. Though now for a season, it ain't going to let me much longer. Just a season. Who can believe that it's August the 2nd, 2020? And God's still God! Bless His holy name! Wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be. Ooh, I'm glad I know who knows my need be! Heaven help me. Listen, Lord. If need be, in heaviness. A few services ago, we mentioned about a heartfelt burden. And your heart gets heavy and you're hurt. Because lives are in shambles. People's been told lies and they're caught in snares. Oh, God, would you send your power? Lord, would you deliver them for your glory? That they might be able to stand and say, I know what Jesus did for me. He came to the prison of my religion and released me. He freed me from myself. I wish I had more strength. I wish I had a better body. I need to run. Listen on. Bear with us, please. I pray. If need be, you're in heaviness. Through manifold temptations. I hate my flesh. I hate this manifold of evil that floods into my heart. I hate it. But my God in heaven has sent me through manifold temptations that I might be able to recognize and realize the power of an almighty and living God.
Amen. What a love.
Oh, heaven help me. I bless his name. I might just go on. And it's worth every inch of the mile. Heaven help us through manifold temptation that the trial of your faith. Oh, in a trial, there's a judge. In a trial, there's an accused. Hey, in the trial, there's a law. In the trial of my faith, I have an advocate who came and said, he goes free. He did not say I was innocent. He, my friend, became my guilt. And it was him that set me free.
Amen.
Give me just a second. Oh, Lord, help us. It was him that set us free. Oh, it's okay if we go on a little further. Bear with us. Listen, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold. Now listen to me. There's some of your faith that's being put on trial right here this morning. Don't take it offensively. Honest to God, it's more precious than gold. If a man gain the whole world and lose his own soul, what has it profited him? I'll tell you, it'd be much profit to your souls here this morning. Every last one of us. Not to just hear the word of God, but heed the word of God. In ordination service last night, I've been down and I asked the Lord before I got there, what do I say to him, Lord? God, what do I say? What do I say? What do I say? And I can tell you this, I'm glad to report it to you as much as I've reported to anybody. God, give me this to say to him. Son, they've been a great witness of the word of God that's been preached here tonight. A tremendous outpouring of his power. And I've asked God what I should say to you. And this is what it is. Serve him. Serve him! I would beg you, with my dying breath, here this morning, serve him. It's far more than walking through the doors. It's far more than just sitting on the pews. But I'll tell you what it is. It is a sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving in the congregation of the righteous, with the heavenly Spirit of God saying, amen, that this is His. This is the sanctification of the Spirit. Let us run. Bear with us, I pray. He says that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Now that's not just when the world ends, but that's been here this morning. That's been right here in your very presence. And they've been some that's been able to praise and to rejoice with us, but they some that stood there like a cat staring at a new gate. I beg you, my friend, be made ready by God. Yield to the Spirit of God before it's everlasting too late. I need to hurry. This old body's wearing down. Might be found to the praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen. Anybody here ever seen Jesus in the flesh? My eyes have never seen Him physically, though my heart has on every page. This is Him. Whom having not seen you love, in whom, though now you see Him not yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. This morning, what I read to you, I don't even know if I can turn to it. It's 115th Psalm, was that right? I believe that's where it was at. 115th Psalm. Now listen. Where was it? Hundred and what? 129? 26? Well, When the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dream. Then was our mouth filled with laughter, and our tongue was singing. Then said they among the heathen, the Lord hath done great things for them. And let me ask you something. If the heathen was sitting here this morning, if them that without a shadow of a doubt don't know God, would they be able to take inventory and walk around the room? So now God's done great things for this one. God's done great things for this one. God's done great things. What would it be? But you know what I see many times in people's mind? The arrogance. Say, I don't need anybody to say what I've done. I beg to differ. My friend, let me tell you something. Some people have the witness of man, but the witness of God is greater. The witness of God is greater. I'd rather have God say amen to me in the quiet and stillness of my heart, in my prayer ground at home, or in my truck driving down the road, or in a few minutes that He catches me away and lets me dwell in Beulah Land. But I tell you what, if He gives me the opportunity to praise Him, whether it's instant, in season, or out, whether it gets an amen or not, I pray that my heart could have discernment, that my soul could know discretion, and then at the right time, in the right place, by the Spirit and the power of God, I could stand in the congregation of the righteous and give my God some glory. Yes. Why? Because He's worthy. Yes, He called me out of darkness and into His marvelous light. He's no respecter of persons. Did you hear that little baby giggling and gooing and all a while ago? I tell you what, that is a sound of happiness. She's not uncomfortable. She's right where she wants. Her needs are met. She's satisfied. Well, let me tell you something. When a child of God gets satisfied in the presence of God, there's going to be some noise.
Yes.
There's going to be some responding to the Word of God. As a great apostle, prophet, man of God, John the Baptist, rejoiced to hear the bridegroom's voice. Listen on. Whom having not seen you love, though now you see him not yet believing, you rejoice with joy, unspeakable and full of glory. Where's your joy? Where's your heaven-sent, soul-flooding, mind-overtaking, heart-breaking, life-rejoicing? Where's the joy? Well, preacher, I've still got my joy. Well, let me tell you something about your joy. Your joy better be the joy of the Lord.
Yes.
And not the joy of religion. The joy of the Lord will overtake this outward man. It will cause our flesh, my friend, to exhaust itself, exert itself, yield itself, that the glory and praise of God might flow. But the joy of religion just appeases a seared conscience.
That's right.
And what a terrible place to be. Having bread and water therewith to be content. I have found whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. Paul, in the midst of a storm in the sea of a drear, when all hope was lost that any should be saved, this man said, "Sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God."
Yeah.
It may look like this whole world's going to die. Why in the world could we not stand up at the house of God and say, "Sirs, men and brethren, be of good cheer. God's still on the throne." But because of what we hear with this natural eye, hear, see with this natural eye, we don't go into the land of promise. Exactly the way the children of Israel died in the wilderness. They didn't die of old age. They did not starve to death. They didn't get an infection due to a blister on their foot and it turned into gangrene and it rot and die. They did not die that way. They died because of unbelief. They did not believe the Word of God. They did not respond to it until they wanted to make themselves ready and try to go in and possess it. And they died.
Yes.
Now this world calls and says, "Now you get ready. And whatsoever time that you hear this sound or that sound or this sound or that sound, now you back." And I'll tell you what, we got a whole world full of it. Amen. But God, the one that has sought us out, saved us for eternity, we say, my friend, that has washed us in His own blood, would beckon us to stand at the house of God and give Him some glory, and we have nothing to say. You don't know my Jesus. Preacher, that's just too hard and that's judgmental. Judge it for yourselves. Do we respond more to God or do we respond more to the flesh? Amen, oh me, and the whole house over.
Yeah.
We do. I tell you, we ought to come into this place praising God in such a way that, my friend, that the heathen that know God's done some great thing for them people. But if the heathen was here today, for some of us, they would think, well, God's never done nothing for them. I beg you.
I beg you, have the praise of God for your life in the congregation of the righteous. Be ready. Be ready. Another place may we look, and we'll close if God will help us. There was 10 people one time waiting for the call of a bridegroom. Read it today. They that were ready went out to meet him. They that were not ready were not able. You cannot make yourself ready. You must yield yourself to God and let God make you ready. I cannot make you ready. The visible body that's sitting around you in this house cannot make you ready. But there's one went to Calvary.
Yes.
Who bore our sins. Oh, despising the shame, but who for the joy that was set before him endured it. And he is now at the right hand of the throne of God. Might I add this? He is the giver and taker of all life. There's nobody alive today without his permission, and nobody will die tomorrow without his permission. He is the giver and taker of all life. Have you considered the lilies lately? Where's your joy? They neither toil nor spin. The ravens, the sparrows, where's your joy? And God provides for them. Are we not more valuable than many sparrows? I'll tell you, we ought to come through here shouting the praises of God. Amen. Preacher, I'm just not emotional. God ain't concerned with your emotions. God's not been preaching to your emotions this morning. But God's been trying to wake you up out of the sinful sleep you're in, that we might have joy unspeakable and that full of glory. That it might overtake us in the way that praises would flow from us. Because I believe this. If God has ever settled anything in the way of preaching and doctrine involved, He settled this with me forever. If I be lifted up, He shall draw all men unto me. He said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto myself. Children, if we're able to lift God up by His amazing grace, He'll do the drawing.
Yeah.
Well, preacher, I need to repent and get right. Well, let me tell you something. You won't do it on your own.
No.
It is the goodness of God that leadeth thee to repentance. And this is what's so amazing to me and many of my preacher brethren. God sends messages like this time and time again, and there's nobody needs to repent. Nobody. But yet they have no joy unspeakable and full of glory. They've never gotten lost to get saved. Terrible days we live in, children. Might I say this in closing? Blessed be the name of God that by His mercies made me ready. My brother said, I am ready now to be offered. Thank God for making us ready.
Yes.
Ready to be in the presence of a holy God. That's my heart for you this morning. If there's a need in somebody's life, I'd beg you. I'd beg you, run to Him. I'd beg you, let go. And run to God and surrender everything. I wonder this morning, is there